Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. And wonderful, wonderful singing. Thank you, Brother Daniel, Miss Becca, and the wonderful song service tonight, and ending up with that song, and then the choir singing the Glory Land Way. If you're used to singing the choir, or you could sing in the choir, or you should sing in the choir, or the Lord's already knocked on your heart to tell you to sing in the choir, you might as well go ahead and get right with the Lord and get in there and see Brother Dan. This is his public service announcement. But I know you have to get up from your nap a little early. I thought there'd be a little more laughs than that, but it must have hit hard. You know, sometimes, you know, I hear that preachers, when they start preaching, they get a nerve, then they just keep on preaching on that subject. And the old preacher said, I know that sometimes you got to get up earlier. And you got to get up from your nap a little earlier and get in here at 5:30, Brother Dan. Is that when choir practice is? But choir, you did a great job tonight, and it was worth it. Thank you. Thank you for singing tonight a good old Glory Land song in a good old Glory Land way, the title of it. And if you are singing in the choir, or you used to, and I do challenge you to get talk to Brother Dan and get back in there. It's a way, if you've got a gift, you've got a talent, you know where that came from. And you ought to use it to glorify the Lord. And there's too many of us just keeping all we've got all boxed up and not using it for the Lord. Boy, if I played the piano, I'd tell Miss Carmen, move off that bench. I'm going to play for tonight. But I can't, and you're glad that I don't move her off of there. But if you do play, you ought to come tell Brother Dan, well, get me in a Sunday school class. I can play for a class. I can do this. That's not being presumptuous. That's just saying, well, the Lord's given me this talent. If you want to use me, you can. Then if he doesn't right now, then just say, well, he'll use me when he needs me. But I challenge you to get in there. Choir, you did a phenomenal job tonight. And Brother Daniel, Miss Becca, thank you all. Wonderful, wonderful time tonight. Night in the Lord's house, singing and hearing good songs. I forgot to mention this earlier. I want you to be praying for Brother Gary Seaman. He was the assistant pastor here for decades. His dad passed away, went home to be with the Lord, and so please pray for Brother Gary and his family. I'm assuming that service will be sometime this week, and so please keep the Seaman family in your prayers. And then also we're praying for Brother Snodgrass. Got word from Tammy, his daughter, that Brother Bill Snodgrass, that he fell, and they took him to the hospital earlier this afternoon. So pray for him that the Lord would give good healing there. So appreciate your prayers in that matter. Well, let's get into the Bible. Would you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 32? As you're turning there, of course, I also want to remind you to be praying not only for those requests that I just mentioned, but continue to pray for Miss Leslie Farmer. I mentioned this morning, most of you were in here, but a few of you out serving different places. She had had some procedures done here in the last week or two, and some surgery there, and is going to have a regimen of chemo and radiation. So I need you to be in prayer for her. The Lord would just give a clear path past this cancer. And I want you to put her on your list of prayer and asking the Lord to bless in a very special way. And the Lord would guide and lead Brother Wade and Miss Leslie through that. And then Miss Connie Fish, she also had some appointments this past week. She's got to go for some more to see some follow-up visits to see what will be the path for her cancer. And so we certainly need to pray. Ask the Lord's blessings upon these good folks and be behind them in prayer. So we'll certainly do that. So we'll just give you those few prayer requests. I want to preach this evening on a message, a subject, meeting with God. Genesis chapter 32, you know this is the place where Jacob's going to meet there. We've got a great story where Jacob, he's scared to meet up with Esau, and you'd be scared too if your brother, if you treat him the way that Jacob treated Esau, and that seemed like Jacob got so many good things after he was such a scoundrel, and so that shoots a hole in that philosophy. Well, I must be doing okay, because look at how many good things I have. Well, Jacob was blessed of God, and God was very gracious to him, but he was still a scoundrel. He's scared to meet up with Esau, and he has reason to be, because back in chapter number 27, Jacob steals the blessing that was supposed to be Esau's, but Jacob takes it. In chapter number 25, he steals his birthright. We remember all those stories about conniving Jacob. That's actually what his name means, a supplanter, conniver, deceiver. How would you like for your mom to name you? Hey, Skinflint. I don't know how they did all those names back in the days, but Jacob's name meant deceiver, supplanter, and he has reason to be scared when he meets his brother. But in this chapter, it's all going to change for Jacob because there's going to be a big event. He's going to meet up with God. I want to look at tonight what happens. He meets most people believe, the pre-incarnate Christ, the Christophany, where he meets with the Lord on that special, special night. He's afraid. And what's he do? Maybe like that big, strong man does, he puts all the women and children up there to meet his big, bad brother. He stays back and leaves family up there. If you read the passages all through verse chapter 32, you'd see there that he puts the folks up there and then some other folks up there and other folks up there to give gifts and to give presents and things to Esau. And then finally, when he gets to him, he hopes that his heart will be softened and he'll be nice to Jacob when he gets there. Look, if you will, in Genesis 32, maybe I haven't told you that, 32, verse number 24. We'll read down through from 24 to the end of the chapter, because this is when Jacob has this meeting with the Lord. He wrestles. Verse number 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day, till the dawn came on. Jacob is wrestling there. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. As a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. I want to preach for a little while about this meeting with God. What does it mean to have a meeting with God? Seems pretty bold of us to say that we could have a meeting with the Almighty. Seems pretty high thinking of ourselves to say that I would be able to meet with the creator of the universe. You know, sometimes we think about the president of a large company and we look at that president of a large company and say, well, I probably would never be able to get an audience with him to talk about anything. We think about the president of a nation. We think about a large person up in the executive branches of a company, and we think we may never be able to reach up and talk to those people. But here we talk about somebody having the thought that he's going to have a meeting with God. But not only Jacob, but us. The Lord tells us for us to come boldly under the throne of grace, and we can have an audience with the King. We can have an audience with the Lord. And can I tell you what happens in my life, and I believe what happens in your life? And that is that we go by so many things. There are so many events going on in our lives. There is such hustle and there's bustle, and there's so many things that you've got to get done and I've got to get done. If you ever do have a day off, then you take all of that day and you chalk it full of things that you want to get done around the house, because it's those days, men, that you work for the hardest boss, and that's your wife. Boy, I feel like I've hit a nerve again. I mean, sometimes when it's a lighthearted chuckle, you know, well, they kind of like that. But then when it hurts too much to laugh, then you know that you've really hit deep, deep stuff. But when you do finally get a day off and you don't have anybody at work telling you what to do, you just got to say, well, I got to get home and I got to get all these things done. I was talking to my father-in-law yesterday, and he said, "John, I got so much to do. I don't have time to do anything else." He said, "I've got all my days filled up." He doesn't work. But he says, "Oh, man, I need to go back to work, because I had it easier before I retired than I have it now." And some of you know what that's like, but if we ever do get a day off, if we ever do take some time off, then you oftentimes fill it with things from beginning to end. And here's my fear. I'm afraid in our Christian lives, we don't carve out any time to have a meeting with God. How many of you are just looking for something else to do that you don't have enough to do? You'd like for me to give you something this week. No hands go up. Because all of us have plenty to do and then some. And that tells me that we aren't looking for events. You know, there was a time, even in our nation, when some prosperity came to our nation, but we were looking for events. There used to be that revival houses and churches were full. Just if somebody put a sign out alongside their little street that said revival, people would come because there was nothing else to do. People were looking for events. It used to be that a knock on the door or the ring of a doorbell was a welcome sound. Because maybe it's somebody I can sit there and talk with and have some sweet tea with on the porch. But now we think that, well, wonder who's here now. Probably somebody selling something, somebody wanting to treat my lawn, somebody wanting to cut my trees, somebody wanting to pave my driveway, somebody wanting to do this, somebody wanting to do that. But we have so much going on that if we're not careful, we don't put what some people call in a leadership realm of things, we don't put any margin in our life. Meaning that, you know, there's a margin around your paperwork and there's white space around there. And it seems like that we've got our lives so full that we don't have any of that. And that's dangerous in and of itself. But let me tell you what's even more dangerous as a Christian. When we don't carve out any time for a meeting with God that wants to hear from us. Tonight, we're going to look at Jacob. And as Jacob has a meeting with God, I want you to see how important it was that he had this meeting with God. And I'd love for you to commit before you leave tonight that, yes, I'll have a meeting with God on a regular basis because your Christian life is in such need of time for you to get alone with God. Let me give you this point, number one. Number one, we see that if you're going to have a meeting with God, if we're going to take the lesson from Jacob, that is, he gets by himself. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day." I'm convinced there needs to be a time when we separate from all distractions. Where's my phone at? You know what our problem is? We've got too much connectivity right here with our smartphone. You got your iPhone, your Android, and we've got so much connectivity. If we hear it ding, we take more stock in that than the Bible that we've got laying in our lap. Well, it could be somebody. Well, it could be somebody on the other side of that Bible, too. Well, maybe they've got an important message. I know there's an important message there. And I know that some of you are on call. There's something dire that could be on there. I understand all that. But my point is in this, in saying that we've got to get away from distractions and get back to the book. We've got to get back to the Lord. You've got to get a time alone with the Lord. And you're looking at a pastor that's striving to do this. And I can tell you, I fail many, many times. I've had many conversations with Preacher Lashley. And he said again and again and again in his ministry, the most important thing is, of course, following the Lord, but getting alone with God. Prayer and getting in the book. And I don't know of a Christian right now sitting in this room or anywhere else that's spending too much time getting alone with the Lord. But I know a whole lot that are shy on that time that they get with God. So number one, we see that you've got to get by yourself. That's what Jacob does. And Jacob was left alone. He put those family members up there. He put all the wife and the children up there. I read an article recently that told how Google, the company itself, offers its employees courses called Search Inside Yourself and Neural Self-Healing. Now, these courses may have much that you wouldn't agree with, but my reason in saying that is they are giving these courses to teach their employees how to be quiet and think. Because they realize even in a secular society, even in a company that's largely anti-God and the secular at best, maybe worse than that, but they realize that even in that secular setting, that people are better off if they stop and quiet things down and find solutions. Now, we're not going to say tonight that you ought to find something good inside yourself. You can have self-healing. I tell you what, you go down deep inside yourself like some self-help books say, and they say reach down in there and find all that you need. You reach down in there, all you're going to find is more stuff that's unable to help your problem. You reach deep down in there, there's not much else down there that's worth reaching for. But you reach down in this book, and you let this book pour in you, and you'll see that as you get by yourself, you'll understand what Psalm 46, verse number 10 said, be still. And most of you know what the rest of that, or the next part, phrase of that verse is. After be still, what are you going to know when you're being still? Be still and know that I am God. You say, oh, Brother John, I know God's God. I know, but some of us forget it. Oh, I know that God is God. I know, but sometimes with the life, the circumstance of life, it gets us to kind of get our mind off of that one particular thought that needs to be reiterated again and again and again, that God's God and I'm not. And we understand that this Jacob teaches us that he had to get alone with God. And as Jacob sent everybody away, it was at that point that God saw fit to meet with him and wrestled with him through the night. Number one, he got alone. Number two, we see that he getting alone with God makes you hold on to him. Look at verse number 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go." Now, how many of you understand that's sort of a false argument going on there? God wants loose, he'll get loose. God wants that that being to get loose, he'll get out of there. It's for our benefit. It's for Jacob's benefit. He said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And Jacob said, "No, I'm not going to." He said, "I want to hold on to you. And may we get to a place in our lives where our time with the Lord is so sweet. May we get to a place in our lives where our Bible is so vibrant to us. May we get to a place in our life where that quiet time with the Lord is so valued and so precious that you say, oh, I hate to leave it. It's a real problem right now that people are, young people are spending hours and hours up into the wee hours of the morning looking on different social media apps with TikTok and different things, and they're wasting or using hours because they just can't put it down. Just like a drug, our body reacts to things that we do over and over again. I suppose you can be addicted to Andy Griffith's show. Boy, when that whistling tune comes on the front, that may just send those, whatever those things are, off in your mind, those, and make you addicted to that. I'm saying we can get to a place where anything gets us looking forward to it again and again. And there, it's studies are on there that young people and older folks are spending hours and hours upon social media and looking at that, and they're so driven to that, they're losing sleep and they're not as productive as they need to be, and they're not doing all the things that they should be doing because they're replacing what they should be doing with something that's less important, but they're so addicted to it, they have to have it. My friend, what I'm trying to tell us is that we not only need to get alone with God, but we need to get so consumed with it that we treat it like we do our favorite activity. How many of you understand that many Christians are just reading their Bible out of duty, if they read it at all, and they read it out of duty to say, I did that, now I can check that box. And it's a real habit that, or it's a real bad habit that Christians can get into. The only reason they read it is just so they can say that they've done it. My friend, we ought to get into that book and we ought to want to stay there. You say, but Brother John, it's just not as interesting as I think it ought to be. I hate to say it, but it's not as pulling in as I want. Can I tell you this? We create appetites for what we want. If you've always grown up on a certain food that's healthy, then you find yourself wanting those things. If you've always grown up with junk food, then certainly that's what you long for. And we can create an appetite, and we get into the Word of God, and we let the Word of God get into us. And we do it because we need it. We do it because we're supposed to. We do it because God says to. But then as we long for it, we stay in it, then we start creating an appetite for the Word of God. I say that this passage teaches us that he gets alone with God, but then he also wants to hold on to what God is doing. I've come down the bottom of Beech Grove Road so many times where my mamma lived, and she's gone on to heaven some years ago, and a little Y-shaped driveway that you could drive from either side of the road, of course, and you drive down through that driveway and then park at the end of it and walk between these two maple trees, and many a times you'd see my mamma sitting there on the porch. You say, wonder why people sat outside so much, used to. Well, if it wasn't air-conditioned inside, there's a little breeze going on outside, so it felt a lot better to sit outside than it did inside. So many times I've gone down that road, and I've seen my mamma sitting there, and I'd pull up whatever car I was driving and get there and sit on the porch swing and talk to her. And it was back then, she knew everybody who was coming down. Mammals are nosy, you know. Everybody's coming down the road. Well, there goes so-and-so. There goes so-and-so. When I grew up, her phone was on a party line, so you'd pick it up and us nosy kids, we can listen to the conversation of half the neighbors going down through there. And if you want to make a call, you had to pick it up, see if nobody was on it, and then you had to make the call from there. But Mamaw would know everybody was going down that road. It just seemed like for a little while, time stopped. You'd off by yourself. You'd sit there in those big old trees in her front yard and the pasture fields behind it. You could just hear the birds singing and chirping and doing what make you want to hold on to that time together. Of course, you know, my mamaw's been in heaven now for some time, and my mom went to join her this year. But I, like you, would love to be able to go back and experience those times again, but they're forever gone. I'm so thankful that although I've made so many mistakes in my life, I'm so thankful that one of them was not rushing past those times that I had with my mamaw, my grandmother, for all those times that I stopped by. I suppose that everybody in this room, we've got regret. But one thing you'll never regret is if you stop and take time with a loving family member when you could have been doing something else. And I think that some of the folks in this room, we're getting the message loud and clear because there's somebody we desperately love to sit on the front porch again with. Can I tell you what one thing you'll never regret either? And that is taking time tomorrow. Now we're going to get down to where the rubber meets the road. Right down there, as J. Vernon McGee used to say, put the jelly on the bottom shelf. Now we're going to get to the specifics of you and I. Can I tell you what you'll never regret? This week. Easy to talk about these things in broad generalities, but let's talk about this week. I'm convinced that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I'm convinced that God wants us to get in this word, this book, every day. I think that He wants us not only to get in this word, but He wants to allow this word to get into us, because sometimes I'll open the pages of this book, but I'm in such a hurry to do my next event, I barely let my eyes glance across the words that are on the pages that I'm reading. And my friend, that's not letting the word get into me. That's me checking off a box that I read my so many chapters for that day. But I'm challenging you in this very week. I'm challenging you to spend some time getting alone with the Lord. I know that it may mean that you have to shut some other things off, but friend, it'd be a good idea if we would shut some things off. It'd be a good idea if we did turn the television off. We did turn the computer, shut it down for a little bit. If we did leave our phone on silent and tell our wife or husband, well, we're going to be over there. And if you need me, you come find me. But other than that, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to spend some time with Him. My friend, I'm trying to tell us this morning or this evening, not only do we get alone by ourselves, but it makes us want to hold on to Him. As Jacob said, I will not let you go. I'm going to hold on to you because this time is so sweet. This is so important to me. And we ought to be that way in our scripture, in our time alone with the Lord. Jacob didn't want to let go. And I'm asking this evening, is that the way that you're reading the Word of God? It matters not whether you're a senior citizen or a teenager in this room. We ought to have, you can call it devotions, you can call it your quiet time, you can call it God nigh time, you can call it whatever you want, but we ought to get alone with the Lord tomorrow. I told you, get specific now. Everybody, every Christian says, oh, that's right, Brother John. Yeah, that's right. We ought to spend time with the Lord, and we know we should. But how about tomorrow? That means you either got to get up early or stay up late or carve some time up while you're some time out while you're up. Doesn't matter whether you're an early bird, a late worm, whatever it is. That they always say the early bird gets the worm. That sounds pretty good unless you're the worm. But it doesn't matter. Then you're in bad shape. So, whichever you are. So I've heard some Christians say, and I know what the scripture says about early will I seek thee, and I've heard some Christians say, but preacher, I'm just so foggy in the morning, I don't get anything out of it. Well, it doesn't matter when you do it per se, but it just matters that we do. And I don't want to raise our hands. I don't want you to sign a card when you leave. I don't want you to tell me when you get out, well, I'm going to do it this week. But I want you to commit to yourself and to the Lord. Now, here's what's going to happen after a message like this. You'll go out of here and you say, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend time with the Lord every day. And you know what will happen tomorrow? You'll get up late because somehow your alarm clock broke and the snooze button got hit 14 times. You don't know how that happened. But you get up late and you've got appointments all day long until you finally come in and you just fall in the bed half dead. I understand. Well, if that does happen tomorrow, then get back up on the horse and do it Tuesday then, Wednesday and Thursday. I'm just telling us this evening, I think what's wrong in our Christian lives is that we're not keeping a good, solid connection to the source. It's not that we're not churchy enough. Good night. You all look fine tonight. It's not that we don't have the routines down. You're here on a Sunday night. You came this morning. You're a weird group of people, the world would say. You've already got those things down. You carry a King James Bible. You know the songs to sing, even when the screen didn't put them up on there. You've got all those things down. But what's missing in our Christian lives is having that vibrant fellowship with the Lord. You take a husband and wife, and that husband says, well, I'm not unfaithful. I come home when I'm supposed to. I don't do the things I'm not supposed to. I'm there for her every time. I'm at the house. Do you ever tell your lover? No. Do you ever be nice to her? Not necessarily. Be like the one fellow says, I told her I loved her when we got married. I figure if I ever change, I'll tell her then. How many of you understand I've just described an unhappy wife? How's your fellowship with the Lord? It's easy for us to assess how our fellowship is with our spouse. Guys, you know when you ask your wife what's wrong and she says, nothing. Liar, liar, skirt on fire. You know that's a big lie from the devil. And then you go in a second time. No, really, what's wrong? No, I said nothing. And then you're on that danger zone. Do you go ahead and risk life and limb and go back in a third time? Or do you just say, I avoided my brush with death twice. I'm not going to go in again. Larry Brown, who Dan and I used to work with, he preached this one message. And he said, men, you got to go in. And he said, you got to, if your wife is upset, you got to follow the bear into the cave. I'm not preaching that. I'm just saying, ladies, don't look at me that way. I'm not calling you names. I'm just telling you what I heard, okay? And he said, you got to follow that bear into the cave, because it's not good enough just to say, okay, she'll come out when she wants. You got to follow that bear in the cave. And then Daniel, his oldest, at the end of the service, he came up and he said, Dad, but if you follow the bear into the cave, what happens if you get mauled? Well, that's a legitimate question. But it's easy to assess how your marriage is doing. Now, not all men do it very well, but it's easy enough to assess. But it's a little harder to assess how that fellowship with the Lord is going. And I'm saying this evening, as Jacob said, I won't let you go except thou bless me. In verse number 26, he was intent on getting the blessings of God. What if we had that same tenacity in your time in the reading tomorrow? Look at the end of verse number 26. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. What if you had that resolve this week when you got into the Word of God? What if you said, I'm not leaving here until I get something from you, dear Lord. I'm not getting away from this chair. I'm not leaving here. I've already built enough time into my day. I'm not leaving here, but what until you give me something. How many of you think the Lord is able to give whatever we need? He stayed for a while. Let me give you this last just point of application. Verse number 31. The Bible says he passed over Penuel and the sun rose upon him and he halted or he limped upon his thigh. He's going to call that place Peniel, for he's seen God face to face and my life was preserved. It didn't kill me. But the Word of God says that he touched his thigh and he walked from a limp from then. I'd say this, not only would you need to get off by yourself and you need to hold on to the Lord, so to speak, but if we operated in that kind of fashion, it'll change us. You know, there's some Christians that I have a hard time believing, and you're not supposed to judge. I'm not going to tell you who they are. They wouldn't even be here. But you know, I know many Christians, it's hard to believe that they're having a vibrant walk with the Lord because they're mean as a junkyard dog. Are they? I don't know. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying it's hard to convince myself that they are because they're mean, they're spiteful. I believe if you got in this book, now all of us have different temperaments anyways. You ever notice that some people, they say, some people as they get older, they get cranky and irritable. But you know, there are some people who just get nice and sweet. I'd like to be one of those guys. Amy probably says, why don't you start now? I said, I would, but so some people say, he's just old and cranky. But then there's some that are just old and sweet. I choose to be that one. I don't know how that the difference is. But I'm thinking about people as if they really have a vibrant walk with the Lord. If I really had a walk with the Lord, wouldn't that make me a better husband? A better daddy? Better pastor? Better friend? If I was really in tune with the Lord and I was having a legit, sincere fellowship with Him, wouldn't I be a better friend to you or a better pastor or a better co-laborer with Christ? I believe I would be. And I'm saying this evening that if we had a vibrant walk with the Lord, I believe it would change us. If you're having trouble in your marriage, or you're having trouble with your children, you're having trouble in your business, you're having trouble in all these things, can I challenge you? This is not the main reason why you have a walk with the Lord, but it is a byproduct that it'll help every relationship that you have. I believe it would change you. I read a story some years ago about this young lady named Carrie, and she got the word on the 4th of July that her sister, the brain cancer that she had was worse than they thought it was, and the doctors wouldn't consider another surgery. And she was, of course, distraught over this. Her sister she loved greatly, and Carrie and her husband were scheduled to go to a party. And so at this particular day of the party, things had gone wrong. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong, and she was a couple hours late, and her husband says, "We still got to go." They said, "Come whenever." And so they went to the party, and unbeknownst to them, most of the folks couldn't come, and there was a couple that did come, but they were gone already. And so there was only two couples there at this party, the one that was hosting it, and then this couple that she didn't know. And listen to how this true story turned out. She gets there to this party, and the couple that's hosting it, she knows, and they chit-chat for a little while. And her mind is a million miles away, worried about her sister, worried about the certain death that's looming over her. And she sees the lady that was the guest that she didn't know reading a book entitled Neuro-Oncology. And she couldn't help but get in the conversation and say what was going with her sister. Turns out this lady that was there was the new chief of neurosurgery at Northwestern, which they weren't far from. Carrie told her all about her sister's condition. And she said, "If you can get your sister there on Monday, I'll see her." And within a few days, her sister had the needed surgery that was scheduled. Now, you'd love to think, everything worked out fine. The sister still died of cancer eventually, but it gave them sweet months together, all because of a meeting with someone that could do something about the problem. It gave them sweet months to fellowship, to love on her sister, all because of a meeting that she by chance had with someone who could do something about the problem. And folks, we can have a meeting tomorrow with someone who can do something about the problems that we're having. Jacob gets alone by himself. In verse number 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. Jacob was all by himself. Jacob holds on to him in verse number 26 and says, "No, I will not let thee go unless thou bless me." And that experience changed him so much that physically, he was never the same. He halted upon that thigh. God left it as a reminder of that wonderful meeting he had. There are certain events in our lives that leave us changed forever. And my friend, you and I have an invitation to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our quiet time tomorrow. Have you been having those life-changing times with the Lord? Or would you consider your devotional life mediocre? My friend, I'm not trying to shame or coerce, but I am trying to offer. The Lord wants to fellowship with us. And I already told you, I don't think the problem in this room is that we're not churchy enough. I think we're plenty churchy. I think we've got the specifics down. I think we've got the routines down. I think we've got all those things down. I believe what we're missing is a vibrant fellowship with the Lord that saved us. I don't have to ask you to confess because I already know too much about how life is. I don't have to have you raise your hand and say, okay, who hasn't had a meaningful time with the walk with the Lord for some time? I don't have to ask you that because I wouldn't embarrass you for any amount of money, and I probably already know the answer. So since we all know what shape we're in, how about tonight we just do some honest to God meeting with Him, and we say, Lord, it's going to change. Starting tonight, I'm going to launch out and I'm going to have a meaningful relationship with you. I'm going to have a meaningful fellowship with you. I'm going to spend time daily on my knees and I'm going to spend time daily in your word. I'm going to let your word get in me. When I mess up and I get so busy that one day it doesn't happen like it should, I'm going to get right back in there the next day and have at it again. So my plea is this. Wouldn't you have a meaningful, quiet time with the Lord on a regular basis? You need it. And God invites it. Now, Lord, I don't know what else to do. Lord, I preach something to people that I fail at many times, even as the pastor. Lord, it's gotten so busy around here. There's so much going on, and I know my frailties, dear Lord. So, Lord, please impress upon the people that I'm not preaching from a high and lofty position that has never succumbed to what I just described, because, Lord, you know that would not be true. But, Lord, I'm asking you to help this group of people commit with me that once again, afresh and anew, we're going to resolve to meet with you in the morning. We're going to resolve to meet with you in the middle of the day. We're going to resolve to meet with you in the evening hours. We're going to resolve to spend time with you whenever we are freshest and when we can make the most of it. Now, folks, you know I preach to Christian folks, but I believe that every one of us need it. I believe that we need to spend time with the Lord. He gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And you've been feeling like you're strung out and overwhelmed and overloaded. Just about wore out all the time. You're not getting any refreshment. You're not getting that bolstering that would come from the times with the Lord. I'm asking you this evening to make a holy vow to God. Lord, tonight I'm going to start again. I started and I've stopped so many times. Don't let that keep you from committing again tonight. Lord, I'm going to get back with you. Listen, folks, you know the truth of this. I'm not preaching about salvation. You don't get in and get out and get in and get out of salvation. There's a great difference between salvation and fellowship, relationship and fellowship. I'm talking about having that sweet fellowship with your Lord. Folks, I believe it's our missing element tonight. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm just going to ask the ladies to play. And right there in your seat, there's no sense in asking people to come to the altar. It's always open for you. But I believe that everybody in this room ought to make an altar out of their pew right there and just tell the Lord, I'm signing back up, dear Lord. I'm signing up for an intimate, meaningful meeting with you on a regular basis. Why don't you just do business with the Lord right there? About it, folks, as she's playing that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We're not confessing this to each other, we're confessing it to God. You might as well just get real with him. He already knows it anyways. Tim said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for not having a meaningful walk with you, but I want to start. As she plays, as they play, and God's dealing with your heart, would you just make a commitment to him? I've never ended a service, I don't guess, without asking this. Perhaps you're here and you're not saved. I preach to folks that know the Lord, but maybe you don't know the Lord as your Savior. If that's you, would you simply step out? You folks be sensitive to somebody that wants to get out. And just find your way down to this altar. Come out the nearest aisle. If you're in the balcony, slip back and come down. You don't know you're saved. Not for sure. Heaven's your home. Please don't leave this place without letting one of us show you from the Scripture how you can be sure you're saved on your way to heaven. As they play one more verse, in that chorus of that song, it's open.
Sing with me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. What a blessing. Thank you, Pastor, for that message. And we are so grateful to be able to come together. And it's been a great day in God's house. As you leave, want to just make a couple just reminder announcements and then just let you know about something as you go as well. Reminder for parents of teenagers, you have a meeting down in the youth department with Brother Kyle. And Brother Kyle, I think you have some things if you want to slip out and get ready to greet them. You can be free to do that. But then also teenagers, if you want to spend some time over in the Family Life Center, we have some chairs and things to take down from the junior church. church area, so we can get that ready for use this week, and then we'll just have some time over there. But then, as everybody goes, we had the Norrises. You may know them, you may not know them, but they are the family that runs the Kettle Corn trailer. They had popped some popcorn, and they wanted to donate that to the church in to help with the youth program. And so what we've decided is, as you go today, there's a couple tables with popcorn sitting right outside on the front porch, and if you would like to make a donation of either $4 for a small bag or $7 for a large bag of the popcorn that's out there, as you go, that'll all go to the youth program. And so they're just donating all the popcorn, donate all the time that it went into doing that. There's a plate out there, you can drop that in. If you say, well, I'd like to get some popcorn, but I didn't bring cash with me, if you want to take one, and just obviously on your honor, if you want to drop some of that in for the youth program in the next service or something like that, that would be totally fine. Just mark it in an offering envelope for the youth ministry. But that's out there, and so make sure you stop by, get some of that, enjoy some time of fellowship as you go. It's beautiful outside this evening, and we're so thankful that we've been able to be in church today. And then also your t-shirts are out there as well. So let's pray, and we'll have a good time after the service. Father, thank you for the day you gave us today. Thank you for the open invitation that you extend to us to spend time with you. The God of the ages wants to spend time with us, and what a privilege it is. And I pray that we would be a church family that is one that gathers together separately, Lord, one that grows individually so that we can grow collectively in our walk with you. Lord, I pray this would be a church that knows you. And Lord, that we would see you accomplish all that you would like to through that relationship. But Lord, that we would just enjoy the fellowship that we can have. Lord, I pray you'd meet the needs of the many who are here tonight and many who are unable to be here. And bless this time we have after the service. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you so much. You are dismissed.